gets it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome into episode 7 of Grinding the Edge here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa. You can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa, and you can also find me on Discord at KoopaTroopa8. If you haven't already, definitely go and sign up for the South Harmon Patreon. That's where we have all sorts of conversations about all things Dynasty Fantasy Football. We have trade advice channels, we have channels where we just give general advice for like when you're on the clock in a startup. We have channels for just talking about data analytics, talking about the Warp tool, all those sorts of things, you with all kinds of people that are just as invested into Dynasty as you are, you can find on that Patreon. So you go to join by going to patreon.com/southharmonff. After you've gone and done that, also go check out our friends over at Ultimate Autographs. If you go to Ultimate Autographs, you can enter in live prize breaks to win all sorts of sports memorabilia. So even if you aren't just an NFL junkie and you're interested in other sports, you can sign up for live prize breaks from the MLB and the NHL, and they even have boxing and WWE stuff on there. Like, it's crazy how many things they have. What you can do is go to Signed Shit, that's signed sh.it, and use the code HARMON15 at checkout, and that'll get you 15% off of your first order. So you can go on, sign up for tons of prize breaks, get 15% off by using HARMON15. Once again, that's Ultimate Autographs, and you can get there by going to Signed Shit or signedsh.it. Today's episode is going to be a little bit lighter on the data and a lot more discussion about the theory. The episode's all about how many leagues fold over the course of a year. And I'm going to be looking at it from the first year of a league, the second year of a league, third, fourth, etc. I'm going to talk through what this means for me when I'm joining a new Dynasty League startup, and how that might cause me to play a little bit differently, potentially in leagues that are more with random people versus with people that I know. So let's jump into the data. Across a total of approximately 200,000 leagues, only about 69% of them made it past year one. So these are all leagues that they went through their startup draft, they played all 17 weeks of the year, and then they went to renew for year two, and they just completely fell apart. They did not play the following year, and hopefully they refunded everybody their dues for future years, but more than likely, they like didn't collect enough dues or something like that, and that's how they ended up folding. So that's the first thing to look at, is 70% of leagues are folding after year one. That means if you try and play with a portfolio mindset like I might have, where you're trying to hit 50% of your leagues are competing and 50% are rebuilding, that 15% of all the leagues that you join this year are just going to be straight up a donation. You're going to donate to whoever wins at year one, and you're never going to have a chance to compete because that league's not going to be around for a future year. Same thing goes if you try to contend and fail. It's just a donation and you're done. But at least if you contended, you had a chance at that money year one. So what does that mean for how I'm going to play when looking at a league in year one? It means that if I'm trying to fit a portfolio where I'm having 50% compete and 50% rebuild, that I want to have all of those 30% of leagues that I think might fold into that competing side. And I'll be much more willing to come out of a startup and a rebuild for a league that I have more confidence in that's going to stick around. An example of that would be if I'm in a South Harmon league. That's a league that once it gets started, that thing's not going to stop. We're going to find patrons that are willing to take over any orphans. And that league is going to continue going. So I can rebuild in those leagues and take a couple years, and I know it's going to be fine. Same thing with some other leagues. I have some commissioner friends out there that invite me to leagues, and I know that all of their leagues don't fold. And so I am well confident going in and saying, I'm going to hit the rebuild here in year one, and I'm going to figure it out for the future in terms of where's my competing window. And that's fine, because I'm not making a donation to somebody else year one, and then everyone leaves, and I've just donated for a year to have nothing happen. If I'm in a random league, I'm going to try and compete more. I'm going to try to make some savvy dynasty moves still, because everyone else is going to be playing in a dynasty window with dynasty ideas and things like that. But I'm going to be well aware that, hey, there's going to be some people that are going to try and leave. There's going to be some poor managers that don't understand what's going on. And if you just have enough of those in a league and you don't have good ability to handle for when too many managers leave and they're really bad orphans and things like that, that league very well might be folding. And it's no fault of anyone in particular. It's just how the leagues go. So I'm going to do my absolute best to make sure that those are the leagues where I have a shot at competing. Even if it's not the greatest shot, like I'm not delving into all my 25, 26, 27 firsts and trading them away for players to try and upgrade my lineup and or add in some depth or all that kinds of stuff. I don't need to go that far, but I want to have a solid team. I want to have a team that is going to be able to make it to playoffs, that is going to give me a shot at being able to make it, get some money back. If I can win a championship, great. If I can't, that's fine. I want to have a shot. Because that's the kind of league that I'm more worried about is going to fall apart. I'm more worried that it's going to fall into that 30% that is going to end up folding. And so, even though I personally did not experience it this past year, I did not have near as many leagues fold to get up to 30%. I would still be worried about, hey, how many of my leagues are going to fold, especially if I'm joining a lot of random leagues. If you're joining content creator leagues, if you're joining leagues that you know the person behind it and you know that they have some sort of image to hold up and things like that, that's the kind of league that, okay, I might be more willing to just hit the reset button immediately. And that's fine. You just need to have that context and understand when your league is going to be an outlier. So let's say we've made it past year one. We've made it past those 69% that closed down. Now we have year two. After year two, we now get where 86% of leagues survive. So that still means that 14% are still shutting their doors, they're refunding everyone. And I think that is an element of just as you get further on and on in a dynasty league, it becomes harder to replace some of these teams. Once you have 2 years of bad managers, like people will have tried to go for it year one, failed and convince themselves they can try and do it year two, fail again, and then they're like, man, I've got to rebuild this whole team from the ground up. I don't want to do that, and they orphan it. And then now all of a sudden you have a really bad orphan. Once again, through the fault of nobody, that league folds. But now you have to understand that after 2 years, only 60% of leagues have survived. So if you went for a rebuild where you said, hey, year one, I'm going to not have any players. I'm going to accumulate a bunch of rookie picks and make them all next year. Year two, you have a bunch of rookies on your team, but your team isn't quite able to get there. They aren't able to go to the over the top because you have a team of a bunch of rookies. They need a year or two in the NFL to really start hitting their stride. That's fine. But now 40% of those leagues have folded. 40% of those leagues, you've donated 1 or 2 years, and you've gotten nothing out of it. So that's the sort of thing where I'm realizing as I go through this data, man, it is not fun being in random dynasty leagues. Like, if you can find yourself somebody that you know is going to put in the effort to make sure the league survive, it is imperative that you stick around with them and you keep a good relationship, because those are the leagues you want to join. These leagues that you can join randomly off of whatever place you find, whether that's like a Reddit find a league page, whether that's a sleeper forum, whether that's some other random forum somewhere where it's just a group of random people getting together saying, I want to do a startup and making it. You need to keep in mind that a lot of those leagues aren't going to survive, and they aren't even going to survive 2 years. Once you get to year three, it all starts to level out. Year over year, 90% to 93% of leagues survive. And it fluctuates up and down, but honestly, I think that's just pure variance in terms of that 90 versus 91, 92, 93. Like, year over year, it's basically up to 10% of them are going to fold. And otherwise, they're all the same. It's just the first 2 years that are the hardest part. And it's those first 2 years that if you are exiting a startup and you're trying to rebuild, that you're going to need the league to survive through. So that's going to heavily hamper a strategy coming out of a startup where you're trying to rebuild a league. It's going to be really hard to justify joining a random league and then rebuilding. What you want to do, ideally, is to accumulate enough value, have enough on your team that you're able to compete, and try and play a good dynasty team. Try and play your league mates. Try and get a team that is able to make it to the semifinal games, that's able to make it to the championship, because you don't know whether that league is going to make it another year. The one counter I'd have to that is the idea of playing the opposite. So if everybody listens to this, everybody's going to be like, hey, I need to try and compete in the first 2 years, because those are my times to potentially win some money in this league before it folds. And yeah, that makes sense. But if everybody is thinking that way, there's some possible win expectation. We talk about positive EV bets when we're making betting. And so I'm going to apply a little bit of that philosophy here. Even though I'm not somebody that does that, I don't know all the nuances that go into it, but the general idea is still here. If you are one of the only teams that is going for that rebuilding strategy in year one, that you're selling a bunch of startup picks, collecting a bunch of futures, you're accumulating all the value that you possibly can, like, those are the teams that can build monsters in 2 to 3 years. And if you have a league that you know, I am going to be one of the few teams competing in a few years, I'm going to have a great chance at being able to make money, that's where you can have some expectation that, okay, even if 40% of these leagues fail, I know that I am going to be in such a good position to compete that it makes sense for me to still do this. And that's going to be largely driven by how you see your league, both before the startup and in the startup. If you're able to perform a bunch of trade down maneuvers really easily, and you're able to accumulate an overwhelming number of picks, I'm not talking that you get one pick extra or two picks extra in like the first round in 2025. If you're able to get to four, you're able to get to six, you're able to accumulate a couple extra in 25 and the same ones in 2026, you're able to get a ton of just this value from the rest of your league mates because they're all pushing in to try and win year one. That's the kind of league where, okay, I might just take the gamble that this league survives. But you're taking a gamble that the league is surviving, not necessarily that, hey, I'm taking a gamble that my team is going to be so good that I'm going to win my money back in 3 years. That's not the gamble you're taking if you're in a league with a bunch of randoms. You're taking the gamble that the league is around for you to put that multi-year strategy into action. Because if you don't have that time, then you aren't going to have the opportunity. It doesn't matter how many future firsts you have if you never get the chance to use any of them. And so that's ultimately the warning message that I've found looking at this. I've found that a significantly higher percentage of Dynasty Leagues fold than I thought. Maybe I'm a little spoiled from playing in so many leagues with South Harmon members. I've played in a bunch of leagues with people that I know and people that I trust to do a good job at not only creating a league and being on top of it and finding new owners and everything, but also just inviting the kinds of people that are willing to stick around for multiple years. And as I'm trying to expand my portfolio here, I'm looking at joining random leagues. I've already joined a couple in the past few weeks, and I'm trying to expand my portfolio out from some of these leagues where everybody in it is really sharp, where they all play the same strategies as me, and I'm trying to join in with some managers that are a little bit different. And I need to have this as a little bit of a warning call to me of, hey, not all these leagues are going to stick around. Not all these leagues are going to be there in a year. And I need to be prepared for that inevitability. I need to be prepared for up to 30% of these leagues to not be there in a year. Another 10% to not be there in 2 years. And even beyond that, leagues are going to fold at a rate of 10% per year. A lot of these leagues, I'm just not going to have the opportunity to compete if I end up rebuilding out of year one. So I'm going to use that to my advantage a little bit. I'm going to understand, okay, if I'm joining leagues with random people, I'm going to lean towards competing, or at least having the opportunity to be competitive. If I'm joining leagues with people that I know, I'm just going to focus on not competing year one. Unless there's something bizarre, like in some of the South Harmon leagues, we create settings where people don't understand what the scoring looks like. But with the Warp tool coming out, a lot of those advantages have gone away. A lot of people understand what it is that I'm looking at now and understand when I say, hey, I'm going to build my team off of 8 running backs, that strategy works if nobody else gets running backs. But if other people see the value there, now all of a sudden my strategy is in the dust. It's not valuable, and I need to do something totally different. And that difference very well might be just, hey, I'm just going to hit the rebuild button, and I'm just going to watch you all duke it out, and then I'll come in a couple years and buy up all the things that you guys don't want anymore because your windows are over. And that's a totally fine way to play. I just need to know that that league is going to be around for me to do it. So that's my ultimate thing is, all right, if I'm joining these more industry-style leagues, these leagues that I know are going to be around for a while, or I have faith in the commissioner, in the other managers, those are the leagues that I have to enter rebuilding in order to maximize my overall portfolio profit. And then the leagues that are randoms, that are people that I don't know, those are the ones that I need to focus on competing. There's one other thing that is kind of eye-opening about this data, and that's taking over orphans. If there's a league where they say have an orphan, and you come in and you take it over, the chance that that league folds before you have an opportunity to compete again, as long as the orphan's not like a 4-year rebuild kind of orphan because it's that bad or something along those lines, that's actually a much better opportunity if you want to have some teams that are going to be rebuilding. Is just find an orphan in a league, because if it survived year one, it survived the hardest cut down period out of all Dynasty Leagues. Yes, year two, that cut down is about 14%, but that's really not that much different than the almost 10% that you get for every year after that. it's really just year one that is the hardest. A lot of people playing these Dynasty Redraft leagues. And I don't want to play Dynasty Redraft. I want to play Dynasty. So one of the ways to do that might also be to find good orphans and take them over. If you can identify solid orphans, just go in and say, hey, I'll take over this team, and allow that league to keep going. Because if that league's been around for a little bit, it's much more likely that people are going to stick around. Or if you need an orphan, that manager's going to go, hey, I've seen this league has been around for quite a few years. Obviously, they have something good going. So that's the kind of thing that I'm potentially going to look at. Is, okay, if I do want to increase the number of leagues in my portfolio that are rebuilding, maybe the easy way to do it is to go and find orphans. I don't need to find startups and build a rebuilder off the bat. I can use startups to build my competitive teams, and I can use orphans to build my rebuilders. And that ratio might be how I can balance my portfolio. One last thing that I want to talk about. So currently, in the number of leagues that are alive in 2024, that number is about 6 or 7% higher than the number that are actually going to make it to week one of the season. So if you went by the numbers of how many leagues folded, how many did not roll over to 2024 or ended up closing down their shop in 2024 already, that number of leagues that have done all those steps is 75%. Historically, I pointed out that only 69% survive. And so I went back to previous years and I checked. And at this time in previous years, yeah, that number looked like 75% have survived for both in 2023, 2022, and 2021. So, for all the leagues that are already rolled over to 2024, if you're sitting there and your league still has an orphan to fill, it's pretty dead, like nobody's really paying that attention to it, it still has a decent chance of folding before the season starts. Not a lot of people are coming in to take over orphans in August. Not a lot of people are even doing that now. And so you need to be aware that, hey, the number of leagues that I have right now, that number might go down a little bit if I have some of these hanging leagues out there. I even have a few of them. I have a few leagues where I know that the payment deadline is not for a couple weeks, and that the commish just isn't really that on top of trying to get it done sooner. But it just means that, hey, it's going to be even harder to fill that orphan when somebody doesn't end up paying by the payment deadline. So that's something to look out for as well, is, hey, these leagues that I have, these ones might even end up folding. And so if it's a league that you are in the middle of a rebuild, you have a bunch of assets on it, things like that, maybe you want to do what you can to try and push it to stick around. Give your commissioner a little bit of a prod. Go out, try and find owners to fill those orphans. But if you've got a team that, hey, I just won the championship last year and I was going to try and run it back this year, but honestly, my team's not looking that good compared to some of the others, maybe those are the leagues that, all right, I'm just going to play a little game theory and just not do anything. See if it survives. If it survives, great. You have another league that you don't need to go find a different one to replace it. But if it doesn't survive, it's not the worst thing in the world, is it? So I guess the ending result message of all this is, if you're trying to expand your portfolio, understand that new startups are fickle, especially if you're doing random ones. If you can grow healthily through leagues that you trust the commissioner, that maybe you've played in a couple of their leagues before, and they're just one of those commissioners that just always likes to start up a few leagues over the course of the offseason, join all of them. And that's how you can expand your portfolio safely. But if you're going out there joining random leagues, understand a lot of those are going to fail. And that should lean you towards, hey, I want to actually try and compete right out of the startup. I want to have myself in a position where I have the value to be able to push in, and my team is in a position where I'm going to win enough of the matchups early in the season such that pushing in isn't going to look dumb. That's the ultimate thing that I learned from looking through all this data that I talked about this episode, is you need to be much more diligent about your dynasty leagues. And it's important to be part of a good community. It's important to talk to other people that are playing in dynasty leagues, because they can help you direct you towards some of the leagues that you want to be in. And that's the biggest thing about dynasty. We don't want to play in redraft dynasty leagues. We want to play in dynasty leagues that are going to stand the test of time. And if you want to up your number of leagues quickly, maybe take over some orphans. Those are leagues that they've gotten past that year one hump. If there's a league that has one orphan spot remaining, and it's not an orphan that makes you want to puke your guts out because it's that bad, maybe go and take that one over. Because that league's going to be there for a long time. That's all I have for this week. Hopefully this is helpful to you if you are looking to expand your number of leagues, or if you just have a bunch of leagues and you want to know for expectations of how many are going to end up folding by next year. As always, stay sharp and make sure to grind that edge.